I'm Matt Bush with BPR News. I'm speaking with Chris Cooper, political science professor and basically our political analyst here at BPR from Western Carolina University. Chris, thanks for coming in.
Thanks. Great to be here.
So we'll start with a national politics story, and we're going to localize it because it certainly does affect the two congressmen that represent Western North Carolina. That would be the retirement of Paul Ryan, meaning if Republicans do maintain control of the House of Representatives next year through these midterm elections, there will be a new Speaker of the House. And both of Western North Carolina's Republican congressmen, Patrick McHenry and Mark Meadows, very powerful members within the Republican Party. So this retirement, really, how does that affect them? Where do they, in their positions that they have within the Republican Party, where do they sort of fit into what might happen?
Yeah, I think they're both McHenry and Meadows are kind of players in this fight at different levels. So McHenry had been talked about as a potential speaker next, right? The idea that McHenry represents this sort of more establishment wing of the Republican Party. Clearly, Meadows is head of the Freedom Caucus, represents the much more conservative part, the anti-establishment, if you will, part of the Republican Party. And so it appears that both have some power to play here. Right now, the most recent headlines make it look like Meadows and the Freedom Caucus are going to support McCarthy, this fellow from California who is a contender last time, and essentially the Freedom Caucus jettisoned his potential victory last time for Paul Ryan. Now it looks like they're behind him.
The Freedom Caucus has just sort of always been a thorn in the side of establishment Republicans. So if they're switching this, I'm going to say they're switching it, if they're now going to be supporting Kevin McCarthy, does that mean anything new with the Freedom Caucus? Are they changing sort of their tactics or their politics or whatever?
Sure. Yeah, I think it probably does suggest that they're kind of maturing as a caucus, right? I think they've been very successful at being a thorn in the side of whatever you might want to call the establishment, about fighting against policy in some ways more than fighting for policy. And I think by really trying to put their own person in, it's kind of a sign that they're really trying to affect policy and maybe become kind of part of the establishment.
Well, both Congressman Meadows and McHenry are running for re-election this year. Congressman McHenry has a lot of Republican challengers, whereas Congressman Meadows does have some Democratic challengers that are running for the party's nomination. Neither seems to be particularly worried, though, about winning re-election. Again, that comes down to how things are, how districts are drawn in North Carolina. But there is this, at least on the legislative level, I think a lot of the focus would be there this year on those elections. Tell us what really sticks out to you about the upcoming midterm elections for legislative seats.
Yeah. So for the United States Congress, I mean, we've got competitive elections. So if we think about the 11th, for example, Mark Meadows district, we've tended to have kind of one Democrat run against Meadows this time. There are three folks running. All three are long shots, I think, but certainly There's a reason we have elections, and we'll see what happens there. That district is a very, very, very Republican district. By some measures, the most Republican district in the state. McHenry's district, again, is a very Republican district. It's a very safe seat. So we would expect both to be safe. But at the same time, the fact that the Democratic Party is able to put up competition says something about the state of the Democratic Party in the state of the Republican Party, sort of that we have a real two-party state. And I think that's important for anybody who cares about competition and democracy.
Certainly the case at the state legislative election level. Talk about that, that all the seats are almost all of them. We have a few that are going to be contested here before we even get to an election as to whether some Republican candidates can be on the ballot. The fact that they will all be, or almost all of them will be contested, as opposed to just 2 years ago. And how North Carolina, because of that, how North Carolina's elections this year will be different than some of their neighbors, particularly to the south.
Yeah, this is really the most extraordinary story to me about the midterm elections thus far. So in the 2016 election, 54% of our state legislative seats had competition, right? So in about half the seats, there were two members of each party running, and about the other half, there was just member of one party running, right? So before the election ever took place, you could predict who's going to win with 100% accuracy in about half of our districts. And this go-round, the Democrats are running somebody in every one of our 170 districts, and the Republicans have somebody running in all but three of those districts. And so this is an extraordinary change. I think it really suggests, again, how strong the parties have become in this state, how active they've been, and how aggressive. And I think it's a good news story for the state of North Carolina. Just did a little bit of comparison to some of our neighbor states, and it looks like South Carolina has really no more competition than they had 2 years ago. So this is a North Carolina story. This is, to me, a purple state story, a swing state story, the kind of story that's going to continue to make North Carolina be on the national headlines.
And what is it about North Carolina that sort of makes it, certainly maybe in comparison to South Carolina, but to other states, what's making it this ground zero for politics is really becoming very much the bellwether state or a top bellwether state of the United States. What is it about North Carolina that really fits into that sort of narrative?
Yeah. So, you know, the whole South was overwhelmingly Democratic, right? We called it the solid South until sometime in the 1970s or 1980s, depending on which state you're talking about. North Carolina certainly swung right, but it didn't swing as far as some other states did. And I think we see a lot more in migration than other states do. And a lot of those in-migrants to our state are registering not as Democrats or as Republicans, but as unaffiliated voters. And so right now in our state, unaffiliated is actually the second largest partisan category. We have more Democrats than anybody, then we have more unaffiliateds, then we have Republicans. And so it looks like a swing state by party registration. If you look at our presidential vote totals, yes, we went for Trump, obviously, last time, and a Republican the time before that. Went for Obama, I guess that was 8 years ago. And in each one of those elections, we were right around the median state. In other words, if you kind of grab all 50 states, we were a bunch right near the middle in vote totals for the Democratic and Republican candidates. So by almost any metric, we are a swing state.
So in a swing state this year in particular, what sorts of issues do you think are going to rise to the top? Obviously, President Trump will be sure. The most talked about person. But within that, what sorts of issues, even within that, will be the ones you think are going to get most discussed this year?
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways, this is going to be a referendum on Trump. But it's also a referendum on the economy. Elections are always about the economy more than they're about anything else, right? If you have to pay attention to one issue, that's the one. What I think may be a little bit different this time is that people are kind of having more of a debate over Democratic values. And I don't mean Democratic Party values. I mean small d democracy values, right? Is Trump good for democracy? Does he represent kind of this outside voice, kind of a common man's perspective? Or is he kind of challenging democratic norms in ways that folks find scary? And I think we're going to see that debated in state legislative races in a way that it really never has been before.
How does President Donald Trump's performance affect whom is going to be representing people in Raleigh?
Yeah, it does, right? So we have these folks call it coattail effects, right? The idea that, hey, how the folks at the top of the ballot do affects the folks at the bottom of the ballot. And I think we do see some evidence of that. State legislative elections are a function of a lot of things, how districts are drawn, you know, who's moving into a district and out of a district, how the state economy is doing compared to the national economy. But it also has something to do with the party brand, which is tied very tightly for the Republicans right now, for good or bad, to Donald Trump. So we would expect to see if Donald Trump's approval ratings go down, that's good for the Democrats running, even for seats in Raleigh, and perhaps for even for seats locally.
Chris Cooper, as always, thanks for coming in.
Thanks. Great to see you.